Oh, man. Thank you so much, Don, for that reading, powerful reading indeed. Today, I want to take us through this passage and unpack it a little, but I want to focus on God's provision. God's provision. The scene is the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias, to which we see the disciples here, seven of them, had come in obedience to the word Jesus Christ had given to Mary Magdalene after he rose from the dead. Listen to these words. Go and tell my disciples that I go before them to Galilee. There I will appear to them. John now picks up the account in these opening words, which Don read so well. After this, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Sea of Tiberias. This is how he did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin. We spent a little time on Thomas. He appears again amongst the seven here. Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the brothers Zebedee and the two other disciples were together. Simon Peter announced, I'm going fishing. Now, although these fishermen were expert fishermen, the disciples had labored throughout the night. And as we read there, they had caught nothing. That must have been a rather unusual experience for them. If it was for me, I've tried fishing many times, and I'm not really a fisherman. I fail every time I try. I've spent hours and hours, and I've concluded that I'm not a fisherman. But for the disciples, these were expert fishermen, and yet they caught nothing. The account makes clear, though, that it was the Lord's intention that they caught nothing on this occasion. Here, in that beautiful symbolic way that John frequently employs, we have a picture of what Jesus wants to teach us about the work of fishing, in particular, fishing for people. Now, I know that failure is a very demoralizing thing. I remember back in the mid-80s, probably even early 80s, I took my first provisional license test, and I failed by 3 or 4 points. I remember going back home. I lived amongst 40 people. I lived in a community. And I couldn't actually stomach going to face all these 40 people and tell them that I failed my driver's test, the theory part. So I went straight into my apartment, locked myself in there for the night. And when I faced them in the morning for breakfast, they said, what happened to you? Did you get your provisional license? And I was filled with shame. And I just looked at them, no, I didn't. So failure can be very demoralizing. You'd be glad to know that since then I've learned to drive. And since then I've also learned that you can actually buy cars that help you to drive. So I bought a car that pretty much drives itself now, which is an improvement. So I thank God for that. Some of you maybe have tried hard to accomplish something like these fishermen. You have expended much energy and money, utilized all your resources, but gained nothing in return. although failure is painful, valuable lessons can be gained through it. We can actually do worse than fail, you know. We can succeed and be proud of ourselves. We can succeed and burn incense to the net. We can succeed and forget the hand whose it is to give or to withhold, to kill or to make alive. We live in a world today with so many people that are called self-made. It's commonplace now to find these self-made people in our society all over the world. I've discovered one thing, though, that with most of these self-made people, I found out that most of them worship their creator. I thought you were going to laugh at that, but you didn't catch that, right? Next time I'll try and say that better. To claim to be self-made is to take for granted all that has been provided for throughout life without giving thought to who has actually provided this. We think that we work hard, we succeed, where actually it's not always that easy. I've come across people who worked so hard, success is not always guaranteed. Were it not for God providing his hand, we neither have the opportunities nor the resources to begin with. Success can be the biggest snare and can ruin our lives, whilst failure can teach us to trust God more rather than to trust ourselves. John goes on to show that to show what God can do with an eye of faith. From verses 4 to verse 8, and I want to just repeat those one more time. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to pull it in because of the quantity of fish that the disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Now, Jesus, the creator of the entire universe, exercises his supernatural power through natural means. He summons the fish to be there, and fish obeyed, unlike disciples. This was a sign to the 7 disciples that Jesus was at work, and they recognized him. John understands more quickly than Peter, and he says, "It is the Lord." While Peter, who acts more quickly than John, wrapped his robe around him, leaped into the sea, and swam ashore. All of this is recounted by John so that we might see what the Lord wants us to learn about the work of fishing. The meaning is actually behind the following verses, and we're going to explore those briefly. briefly now. When they got out on land, they saw fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. So Simon Peter went aboard, pulling along the net full of fish, 153 of them. Now, maybe Don and Kelly might explore this in Exploring Faith in the week, but some people have come up with some vivid imagination as to what that 153 means. I shan't indulge right here, right now, so I shall leave that to you guys. Okay, Don and Kelly, can you reveal to us what that means? And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them. And so with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus Christ had appeared and revealed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now, in this final section, I'm going to just look at a few things as we conclude. Several things here have parallels in the work of fishing for people. Now, see how Jesus provides the original fish and bread for this breakfast. When the disciples landed, the fire was already lit and fish and bread ready. That we have come from God's hand. We did not provide this world or the food that is in it. We do not provide the opportunities that come our way, but God does provide those opportunities. Our God, who created the whole world, continues to sustain the world, and he continues to work behind the scenes, providing for us, because he cares for us, because he loves us. He puts us in the right place at the right time for the right reasons, leading us into situations we could never have designed ourselves. We operate by his grace, in accordance to his efforts. See how Jesus now invites the disciples to bring the fish they had caught. So remember, there's fire, there's fish, there's bread there already. Now he says to the disciples, bring the fish that you have caught. This beautifully suggests the way our God works with humanity. As we read the Bible, it's amazing how God invites us to be his co-laborers and co-determiners of events in our lives and in our world. What a privilege we have to work with God. The wonder of this is that God could easily do it all alone. Nevertheless, he gave the seven disciples, including Thomas, who was doubting in our last passage, John 20, who ended up seeing that revelation of truth, that Jesus Christ was in effect Lord and God, and he worshipped him as sovereign Lord. Thomas is included here. And Peter, interesting enough, who had denied Jesus, is also included here. He gave them the greatest privilege to be co-laborers with him. God might be inviting you to do a very simple thing. Recently, I spoke to Helen, my neighbor. I've known Helen for 3 years. We speak quite often when she's walking a dog. Usually, I'm washing the car. We have polite conversation. It's brief, friendly, casual. But for some reason, 2 weeks ago, Helen was walking her dog. She stopped where I was cleaning my car. We started talking. Somehow we got talking about faith. And the conversation got so deep. Now, her main objections are some of the two things I'd like Dawn and Kelly to explore with you as you explore faith. The first objection she had was at her father's funeral, the vicar had been so certain about where he had gone. And she said to me, how can the vicar know where my dad has gone? He doesn't even know my dad that well. In her 20s, she struggled to see how anybody could be so certain. The second objection she had is, why is the church full of broken people? If it's a place for healing and restoration and salvation, why is it full of broken people and imperfect people? And that was a big one for me to try and unravel and tackle as a broken person myself, literally and spiritually. All I did was to be obedient and to respond to what she was saying rather than to react to those objections. When she left happy with some clarity. And I give thanks to the Lord because actually it wasn't what I was trying to do, because I would have messed it up completely. But in his wisdom, he gave me words to say to her. I haven't seen her since. I'd like to follow it up and see what's happened there. But we are so privileged. We have all these opportunities that come our way. God is inviting us to be co-laborers with them in the mission of bringing people to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a global initiative right now, which was started by Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, to encourage Christians everywhere to join this global wave of prayer, calling all Christians to pray between Ascension and Pentecost for more people to come to know the love and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you consider to partner with Thy Kingdom Come initiative and pray for your friends and family? I think they're asking for 5, but you could pray for more, you could pray for less. Pray for yourself that God might deepen your faith and your relationship with Him. And pray that the Holy Spirit would permeate your life as He guides you to be more powerful in your witness. As I say, I would love Dawn and Kelly to maybe help us explore that. I want to, however, indulge in one interpretation of what 153 represents. I think it reinforces God's love for all humanity. In Matthew 28, verses 18 and following, the Bible says this, that all authority has been given to you, to the disciples, to us as disciples. And therefore, go and make disciples of every people group. God is calling us to make disciples of all people. And Jerome, an Italian Roman scholar, one of the early church fathers, said this. He said 153 in that time represented the entire world. And God is calling for all people everywhere to repent and come unto Him. We see God at work here, blessing these disciples as fishermen. Jesus gathered His men on the shore. He invited them to feast with Him. One of the things I've learned about our God is He's a God who provides for us. He's a God of extras as well. And His abundance is incredible. He provided for them physically, but He also provides for us physically and spiritually. In conclusion, I want to say this. The main emphasis in this account is that success cannot occur without the recognition of the power of God. We must recognize God's hand. Psalm 127 says this: unless the Lord builds a house or a city, unless the Lord builds, those who labor, labor in vain. Unless he watches over a city, the guards stand watch in vain. Let us pray. God, I want to thank you that you are a God who provides for all our needs in accordance to your riches in glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.